If you're here last weekend for Sunday Mass, you heard me talk a bit about the fact that this is the time of the year, mid-October or so, in our parish, where for many years now we have focused in a prayerful, intentional, and special way on the gift that our parish is, on its mission, its outreach, its apostolates, its ministries, and we do so in the context of all God's blessings to us, and what it means to be people of offering and generosity. So it's the pledge season around here, last weekend part one, this weekend part two of that, which means that I'm going to reserve some time in my comments to let someone else talk a little bit when I'm done. So we'll hear that in a minute. But for the purposes of the homily right now, anyhow, in terms of the readings, and they do fit nicely in this context, comment number two about the gospel and about what it means to offer. How about that? We find Jesus, again, this weekend, as we have for a couple weekends now, making his way to an important destination. He is going to Jerusalem. He is on his way to his death. He's on his way to become the perfect offering, the perfect sacrifice, and to be handed over completely and hold nothing back. This is where he is headed. And he says it very well at the end of our gospel, to be not someone who is served, but someone who serves, lays down. God is going to place himself at our service, at the service of humanity, and he will suffer in order to do it. So it's a dramatically moving thing, and frankly, a lonely and difficult thing that Jesus is on the way to do. You would hope, I suppose, that on a journey like that, which is full of such difficulties and a hard end in its own lonely moments, that he would have a kind of companionship in the band of the apostles, some sense of understanding or sympathy or any kind of support. But the fact is he doesn't, and the reading makes it even more clear. What do these guys do? While Jesus is focused on where he has to go, they want to know how they're going to get something out of the deal. That's how the whole thing starts out tonight. James and John, the brothers, come bounding up to Jesus, and they say, hey, we had a favor to ask you. When you get to Jerusalem with us, and you take over the city, and you reign in glory, and you establish your government, we want a cabinet post. That's pretty much what they're asking for. We want a place in your new reign. Positions of honor. Why? Because, you know, we must be your best disciples, right? So we want a political favor. That's pretty much what they're asking about. So that's not what you call support, I think, for the master on this trip. Jesus, in typical fashion, doesn't really chastise them. He doesn't get mad. He says, well, okay. So what you're saying is you want the glory, you want the glamorous end result, you want the prestige and the awesomeness of the end result. The question I have for you two is, are you willing to pay for it? It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you. And he has this language in here about, you know, are you going to get baptized like I'm baptized and drink the cup that I'm going to drink? So what he's trying to say is, I'm going to suffer for what I'm going to do. I will undergo something that is hard, difficult, challenging, and make of myself an offering. Can you do that too? It's going to cost you. And they say, sure. Not quite knowing what they're saying, right? And Jesus says, all right, well, then I'll tell you what, it's coming to you too, it will. And at the end of the day, my Father is going to parcel out, you know, the cabinet posts. Not exactly up to me. The other 10 get mad about this because this is a little jealous group that we're talking about here. And Jesus wraps the whole thing up by saying that his goal in coming among us is not to sit back and let everybody else come and do things for him. He says, my goal is to be one who serves you and lay down my life for you. This is going to be your example here. What I'm going to do is how you are to act, not about what you can get out of it, what you can give to it. That's the point. I think same thing for us too today. If we put ourselves in the reading, this plays itself out all the time in human history, in every era, every place, no different here in West Bend. God puts on our hearts, I would say, good and appropriate desires for greatness in whatever we're doing. You know, desires in a marriage, in a career, in some sort of a position, in a community, we want things to be good. So husbands, wives, moms, dads, you might think to yourselves, you know, I really want to have something like the storybook marriage, let's call it, where there's a good household and there are children and they're all, and it's supposed to look like this good picture of happiness. God says, yeah, I want that for you too, married couples, but here's the deal, it's going to cost you. There's a price to that. There's no getting to that glorious end that you want without sacrifice, giving oneself over, not getting away all the time, putting up with each other, frankly. This is how it goes. One must give to get the flourishing end result. Same thing when it comes to, I think, our nation. Let's pick another example. I think we all want America to be a great nation. We desire that, a place where there is prosperity, where people who are downtrodden can be lifted up, where there's a good future for our kids and grandkids. We all want that. And I think God says to us as Americans, yes, I want that for you too. I want you to thrive under my outstretched hand and blessing. But here's the deal, Americans, it's going to cost you. It's not free. You have to work for that and sacrifice for that, obey laws, obey structures, give yourselves over, serve your country, do the public duty and public good. All those things are required. Nothing is free. It's going to cost you. Are you willing to pay the price, he says to us. We want, I think, our parish to flourish too. We all want, I certainly do too, and with you, as sort of a shiny Cabrini with a great church and a great school and great ministries and all these things that we do for the community. We want a loving, model, thriving St. Francis Cabrini community. God says, I want that for you too. That's a great outcome. It's going to cost you. Nothing is free. One must make of oneself an offering. Now, the Lord doesn't just say these things. He's not just a talker. He's a doer too. He is a leader by example. He wraps the whole scene up by reminding the 12 and all of us, too, what this means. He could say, I'm not only telling you you must make an offering, I'm going to show you how to do it. We're going to a place, guys, he tells them, and us too, where I'm going to die and pay the ultimate sacrifice for the world and put myself at the service of the human family. If I can do it, let yourselves be inspired by that to do the same thing. As I do, you do too. And as you take into your hearts the truth of what I've done for you, it ought to move you to do it for others, so that none of my followers are sitting around saying, hey, serve me. You're all going, no, let me serve somebody else. You will learn from me. So we believe in a God who not only tells us what we must do, he does it himself, as it must be for all of us too, okay? This is the thing. Cabrini is a place of service. We're a place of people who have decided for a long, long time here that we're not going to sit back and wait for folks to come and make us feel good. No, we make it our task to go and serve others in the spirit of this gospel story. Jesus says, yes, it's going to cost you. You pay the price here willingly. It's beautiful, and because of that, things flourish. We all want the good end, and we're willing to sacrifice to bring it about. That's how it works. With that in mind, I'm going to invite up Lisette Capecchi, who is a longtime member of the parish here. She'll say a bit about how this place has been for her a journey of offering and giving over for the flourishing of the gospel.
Thank you, Father Nathan. My name is Lisette Capecchi, and I am here as a lay witness tonight to tell you why I joined Cabrini and why I stayed. My husband, Michael, and I have been married for 31 years. We have two children and raised them here in West Bend for the past 25 years. Michael and I were born into Catholic families. Sunday worship was pretty regular for me until I was confirmed at 16 years old, and for Michael until his first communion at 6 years old. It was natural for us to be married in a Catholic church, and my children were baptized in one, but our visits to Mass were random and mostly at holidays. When my son was 6 years old and my daughter was five, I thought my children should have regular exposure to God that was more than just the bedtime prayers. My Catholic roots eventually steered me here to Cabrini. I grappled with just dropping them off at catechism until the light bulb went off in my head and I thought, I can volunteer in the classroom of a first grade catechist. I volunteered in their regular classrooms, so why not assist a catechist? So that's what I signed up to do. I'm not sure how it came about that the circumstances for the catechist changed so that the person I was supposed to assist, and it turned out that I was the primary teacher for the first graders. In wanting to do a good job, I started studying their weekly lessons, and that was the beginning of my adult Catholic journey in Catholicism. Reading the lessons led me to reading the Bible, learning the different styles of prayer, understanding the liturgy of the Word and the liturgy of the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and the importance of gratitude. I learned about the amazing order of church construction, interior, art, and artifacts. I attended church more and more until it was every Sunday, and it wasn't long before my husband was regularly with us. Through 13 years as a catechist, I learned about the beauty of the sacraments, the stations of the cross, the wisdom of the saints, and I started reading books written by them. I remember reading the diary of Saint Faustina and learning about divine mercy. And there was a line where the Lord asked Faustina, "How long shall I put up with you, and how long will you keep putting me off?" I wondered how often Jesus felt this about me, and I paid greater attention to ways in which I was called to him through inspirations. There are many opportunities in the world to do good, but I felt it was important to distill it down so that my volunteer time and energy did not go entirely to philanthropic organizations in my profession, but was shared with Christ and his church and advancing his mission in the world. I tried to teach my family and the catechism students that at least a portion of their time should be given to supporting the Catholic Church directly. Meanwhile, my family and I went on pilgrimages to shrines, found Catholic churches when on vacation, said more prayers, and started telling our family, friends, and even mere acquaintances that we would pray for their intentions. One Sunday homily here at Cabrini, I heard a talk by a guest priest about adoration and decided I should do it, not realizing that I was answering God's call to one of the richest blessings in the Catholic Church. When both of my children were in college, I switched gears from being a catechist to being on the adoration committee. I attribute time spent with Jesus in adoration to many answered prayers, one being that my husband, at 50 years old, was confirmed into the Catholic Church. Overlapping with his journey toward confirmation, he was interested in attending small discipleship groups, which led to he and I eventually becoming group leaders for the Lenten small discipleship group. In my adult Catholic journey, I continued to learn patience and humility, but above those was obedience to God. The world around us condemns, mocks, and ridicules the concept of obedience to him. But I would argue that by following simple instructions that I know to be good, that stem from God through his instrument, the Catholic Church, right here at St. Francis Cabrini, I find refuge, and that is why I have stayed. St. Francis Cabrini offers us the richness of the Catholic faith and connects us to its fullness shared worldwide. In closing, about 2 years ago, I was honored when my nephew asked me to be his confirmation sponsor. At one point in the Mass, the sponsors were asked to give one piece of advice to their confirmation candidate. Later at dinner, my niece asked her brother what I told him, and I was really happy when he actually remembered. He recalled it verbatim. "Make good choices to get to heaven and take as many people with you as you can. I will pray that all of you accept the grace that God offers and take action here at Cabrini where you feel called to make good choices to get to heaven and to take as many people with you as you can." Thank you.